Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we need to wrap up our study of the second section in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The first section was Old Testament examples of unbelief and the warning to New Testament believers not to fall into the same trap, the same temptations. The second section takes up the question of eating meat in an idol's temple, whether that's permissible or not. In chapter 8, Paul said it's perfectly legitimate, wholesome, and God-honoring to eat meat that's been offered to idols, take it home and enjoy it to the glory of God, but going into an idol's temple and eating that same meat there in a communal meal, a ceremonial meal, a meal that is engaged in by the worshipers of that particular false god in that temple dedicated to his worship, and you go in there and participate in that, that's what's wrong. Not the meat that you chew and swallow, it's the association, implications, and the communication of the idea that you are in agreement with that false god and with the worship of that false god. That's the problem, the danger of participating in false religious practices. That is what you must avoid at all costs. You can't do that in honor of the Lord. So that's what we have learned so far in 1 Corinthians 10 in this middle section, verses 14 through 22. And I'd like to wrap that up on the broadcast today so that we can move into the third section as we start a new broadcast week on Monday. So thank you for joining us on this Friday, January 21. Thank you for supporting us with the financial help that is necessary for us to stay on the station. The general command in this section is flee from idolatry. Therefore, verse 14, my beloved, flee from idolatry. The reasons for that are taught in the bulk of this section by way of analogy. When you participate in the Lord's table, it's clear that you are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. You are giving your consent, your assent, your affirmation to the worship of Christ, and you are identifying with Him and with others who worship the Lord Christ. So, don't you understand? If, on the other hand, you go into a pagan temple and participate in a communal meal there and worship of the pagan god, that you are identifying with that god and with the worshipers of that god, don't you understand that? And the other analogy is in the worship of the Levitical ceremonies in the Old Testament. If you bring your sacrifice to the temple, you are participating in the worship of Jehovah and communicating that to everyone else. I am a worshiper of Jehovah. I identify with Him. I worship Him. I identify with the people who worship Him. But if you go into the temple of an idol and participate in a religious ceremony there, a communal meal, then you are giving your sanction to that false worship. Don't you understand that? Understand that eating idol meat is not the issue. Don't make that the issue. And I spent two or three broadcasts trying to to emphasize that point and drive it home. Don't make issues where they don't exist. Eating idol meat is not the issue. It's not the problem. But participating in idolatrous worship is the issue. And so, as we've seen in verse 21, the scripture is clear. You cannot participate both in worshiping Christ and worshiping an idol. That is, in participating in a, can we call it, a religious ceremony that is designed to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the same time participate in religious ceremonies that are designed to honor a false god. You can't do both. Now, obviously, technically, it's humanly possible to do both, but this makes it clear, if you do the one, that is, participate in idolatrous ceremonies, Christ will not accept your worship that is in association with him. You cannot, verse 21, drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. There aren't a lot of ceremonies prescribed for New Covenant believers, but the Lord's table is one of them. And that's one that the whole people of God, the whole congregation, participates in together. When you participate in that, you are worshiping the Lord Christ. But if on the day before you're doing something similar in a pagan temple, then Christ says, I don't care if you are present at the Lord's table. I don't accept your worship there. That is an abomination to me. You can't do that. It is, to put it another way, a factual impossibility. But then we go on to verse 22 and deal with a factual absurdity, the final verse in this section. Or, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? When we participate in false worship, we provoke the Lord's jealousy. I could take you back to Deuteronomy 32, verses 16, 17, and 21, where this is spelled out. When you participate in false worship, you are provoking the Lord's jealousy. That's an interesting concept. Is God jealous? Yes, in the right way, a righteous way. He is jealous for his people. He is jealous for right worship of himself by people. He is angered. He is made jealous when people worship false gods instead of worshiping the one true God. It's the kind of righteous jealousy that a wife has for her husband. She would be jealous if he were carrying on sexually with another woman, and she would have a right to be jealous in that situation, or vice versa, the husband in regard to his wife. That's a righteous jealousy, a holy jealousy, and that's the way God is. When he sees people who call themselves his people participating in false worship, that provokes him to jealousy. Jealousy is a strong emotion based upon expectation of exclusive relationship, and God has the right and the expectation that we shall worship him exclusively. We shall worship the Lord God alone, and him only shall we serve. And it is not permissible to say, well, I'll worship Jesus, but I'm going to hedge my bets and worship another god too. That sometimes comes up in mission field situations where people presumably leave their pagan worship and become followers of Jesus Christ, but sometimes don't cut themselves off from their former pagan worship. They try to do both, as it were, to hold on to Christ with one hand and hold on to their family paganism with the other hand, and the Bible makes it clear that's not permissible. You must worship the Lord Jesus Christ exclusively, him only, nobody else. And when we do that, what Paul is saying, when we try to worship a false god and the true God both, We behave as if we're stronger than God. That's absurd. That's absurd. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? No. How foolish to even suggest that. You're not going to overcome God. You're not going to hold Him back from righteously exercising appropriate judgment upon those who involve themselves in false worship, who refuse to worship Him exclusively. Therefore, the concluding summary is, don't participate in idolatrous worship. Question, is eating meat offered to idols wrong? No, not in and of itself, but if you do it in public association with a false god, that's what's wrong. It's not eating the meat. It is involving yourself in idolatrous worship. So this tells us something about the limits of Christian liberty. Personal and private liberty, where the Bible is not specific, is certainly allowable. But there is no liberty where the Bible speaks specifically, and Christian liberty exercised publicly is tempered by its influence upon others. I've got the Christian liberty to do this, that, or the other. Not if you are showing others a wrong path, are affirming that which will be harmful to others. You don't do that. You don't do that. There are problems with questionable religious associations. Is it all right to worship with Christians in an apostate church, cults, or other Christian churches that maybe at one time in their history were true, but they have departed from that? They're now apostate. Is it okay for me to stay there? That's my family church. Shouldn't I stay there and help influence family and friends to come to the truth? Not if your participation is communicating to them that you approve of that apostate form of Christianity. That would be wrong. That would be wrong. And all of this gets back to what I have said a couple of times this week as we've been dealing with this subtle danger of participating in false religious practices. It all boils down to this. When it comes to Bible teaching, it must be the Bible, no more, no less. We may not prohibit eating idol meat if it's unconnected to false worship. Some people insist on doing that, but the Bible makes it clear, no, you can't make those kind of rules. You can't erect those kind of prohibitions. That's not legitimate. But neither may we participate in idolatrous pagan worship. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, the Bible tells you that there's something wrong with that. It's wrong because the Bible teaches you that it's wrong. That makes it wrong. It's not whether you see anything wrong with it or not. It's not whether you see a good end to justify this questionable means. The end doesn't justify the means. Your participation in unbiblical worship practices, though you may think that's the way to reach people and help them and teach them the truth, the Bible says, no, that's not the way to do it. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That's what Paul is teaching in this section. Flee idolatry. May God help us to understand and to apply this to our lives today. Until next week, Greg Bartman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.